Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right. So we are wrapping up our series today, wrapping up Prison Break. And we've kind of come to the week that some of you have been waiting on for the last few weeks, right? Because you get the idea of forgiveness. You get that you need to forgive. You even want to forgive, like you'd like to forgive. Maybe you've tried to forgive and it just didn't work. And so you want to know how to do it. Like, how do we actually forgive people? Maybe you've tried before. You thought you'd forgiven the person. And then, you know, maybe you run into them on the street, or maybe you live with them. And a few days later, a few weeks later, like, you're fighting, something comes up, and that thing you thought you had forgiven is magically right back. And it's time to fight about it again. Right? So what I want to do today is I want to do the best I can to show you kind of from God's word, specifically from a teaching that Jesus gives us, how to do this. How do we forgive? Now, if you've missed a couple of weeks of the series, I really encourage you to go back and check it out. Specifically last week, because last week I answered a question about forgiveness that's pretty much is equally important as to how to do it. We talked about why we should do it. In fact, last week we kind of talked about this idea that forgiven people forgive people, you know, and what we mean by that is, this is a church, we believe in Jesus, and if you are a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, if you have given your life to Jesus, that means you have been forgiven by him. And we believe that forgiven people will then forgive people. What we've been saying is if you've gained it, you need to give it. And we've kind of been saying throughout the series that if you struggle forgiving people, and if you really don't want to forgive people in your life, it may be time to step back and evaluate, have you ever received that forgiveness? Have you ever experienced the forgiveness that comes from a relationship with Jesus, right? Because forgiven people, people who have been forgiven by God, will in turn forgive other people. Last week we answered the question of why. Why do we do this? Why does this matter? And here's what we said. Because it's the first step to freedom. See, this is the big kind of paradox of forgiveness, right? A lot of people, we don't want to forgive the people in our lives who hurt us, because what we think is that we're letting them off the hook, right? We don't want to forgive because it seems weak. It feels like we're rolling over. But what we discovered last week is that forgiveness isn't weakness. Forgiveness is victory. Forgiveness is how we achieve victory over the consequences of what they did to us. The only way to be set free from that, the only way to be set free from the bitterness and the anger and the pain and the desire for revenge, the only way to be set free is to forgive them, right? So that's why we should do it. We talked about it last week, why we should forgive. We should forgive because it sets us free, because it's the only way for us to actually move on with our lives. It's the only way for us to kind of move past it and to find freedom ourselves, right? So that's why we should forgive. Today I want to answer the question of how. How do we do it? Because if you're like me, you want to know how. Maybe you've tried to forgive people in your life in the past, and like, it didn't work, right? It kept coming back up. You just kept finding yourself getting angry, and you really have begun to wonder, like, maybe I don't know how to forgive somebody. You know, I've experienced that in my own life. Maybe you experienced it in your life, and if you did, you're not alone. Jesus' very first followers had the very same questions. Because when Jesus came on the scene, he started teaching during his 3-year ministry, he was constantly talking about forgiveness. And not just the forgiveness we receive, but the forgiveness that we should give. And he taught his followers to forgive. And he said, this is why you should forgive. And he had 12 men who were his closest friends and closest followers. They were called his disciples. And they heard him teach for 3 years. And even they had questions about how to forgive. Now, luckily for us, one of them had the guts to actually ask the question. You know, a lot of the disciples, I think, like, they listen to Jesus talk, and he will be speaking, like, really philosophically and kind of just talking and just sharing all these things, and all the disciples are just going, yes, Jesus, yes. But then there was this one disciple over here in the corner. His name's Peter, right? And Peter was the guy who would go, wait, what? Time out. What did you just say? What are you supposed to do? And in this situation, we're going to turn to the book of Matthew. Jesus had been teaching on forgiveness. And he's been talking about the importance of forgiveness. And he's been given all these lofty ideals about forgiveness. And I don't think any of the disciples truly understood what it meant. But they were all just kind of going, yes, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Maybe they even had a hand raised. Yes, Jesus. Yes. But Peter is like, time out. What did you say? And so Peter comes to Jesus and he asks a question. And I'm so glad he asked this question, because what it leads to is Jesus telling a story. And Jesus' story gives us the blueprint, gives us the process, gives us the step-by-step of how we can achieve forgiveness in our life. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 18. That's where we're going to be. If it's not, it's going to be up on the screen just like always. But you've got to remember, Jesus has been teaching about forgiveness. He's been talking about all these things. And Peter works up the courage to come to Jesus and ask him this question. Peter came to him and asked, "Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times?" See, Peter's trying to figure this out because Jesus has been saying, forgive, forgive, forgive. And in Peter's culture, the rabbis of the day kind of taught that after three times, you did not have to forgive the person anymore. That really, three strikes and you're out. They were baseball fans before there was baseball. They're like, three strikes, you're out, right? You don't have to forgive them anymore. So Peter, like, he thinks he's doing well. He thinks he's like more than doubling the standard, right? So he goes to Jesus and he's like, "I don't really understand this whole forgiveness thing. So help me figure out when do I get to stop forgiving? Like what's the limit, you know? Because, you know, they teach us three, so seven? Huh? Is seven enough, Jesus? Is that going to be good for you?" Because Peter has no idea. And he actually has the guts to speak up. And it's like, man, this is so foreign. Jesus, seven times? I mean, is that enough? Is that enough to forgive people? And Jesus' answer is not surprising. He says, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, Jesus doesn't really mean 490 times, that you need to keep a journal. No, what he's saying is this, right? He's saying, if you think there's a limit to how much you should forgive someone, you don't understand the forgiveness I'm talking about. Because here's what Jesus would say. There's no limit to my forgiveness for you. There's no limit. My Father is going to forgive every mistake you've ever made or ever will make through my life. There is no limit to the forgiveness I give to you. So there can be no limit to the forgiveness that I move through you. There can be no limit. You must continue to forgive. And you may say, "Well, Jesus, why? I mean, that seems so unreasonable to ask. Some people just deserve it, blah, blah, blah." And Jesus would say, remember what you learned last week. If you set a limit for the number of times someone can offend you, can hurt you, can do something to you, and then you will stop forgiving them, all you've done is begun the countdown to your re-imprisonment. That's all you've done. If you decide, you know what, I'm going to forgive my best friend 10 times. The 11th time, I'm not forgiving anymore. Well, you've just started the countdown. 10, 9, 8. And when you get to 0, you are the one who will go back into prison. You're the one who will struggle. You're the one who will be eat up with bitterness and rage and anger and jealousy and all those things that are holding you down. They don't hurt the people you're mad at. They hurt you and the people you love. And so Jesus is saying, look, you've got to understand. Don't think about forgiveness that way. Don't think about it as something that you're keeping score on. I forgive you completely. You should just forgive completely. However many times you have to forgive. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing Peter and the disciples were thinking. Well, that's a good answer, but that doesn't really tell me how to do it. And what Jesus would say is, well, I'm not done yet. I'm going to tell you a story. But it kind of does tell you how to do it because it reframes the situation, right? It reframes what you're thinking. Because I think you may have a fundamental misconception about forgiveness. I think that people, maybe like me, maybe you think you're broken with forgiveness because you'll decide to forgive somebody. You'll spend a little moment and say, okay, I've forgiven them. And you expect it to just go away. You expect it to disappear. You expect to never have the thoughts again. You expect to never have the emotions again. You expect to never feel hurt again because you forgave. And what I believe Jesus is saying is, no, forgiveness doesn't work that way. Forgiveness is a process. Some of you have very significant emotional hurts in you. Those emotional hurts are not healed overnight. They're not healed in 30 minutes. Forgiveness will be a process. It will take time for you to experience. And when Jesus says you need to forgive over and over and over again, he's not necessarily talking about new offenses over and over and over again. He may be talking about the one offense that hurt you the most. You may have to forgive it over and over and over and over again until he was finally able to heal the hurt that is inside of you. And I believe the way Jesus is framing this entire thing is to help you understand, look, this is a process you have to partner with me in. It is not going to be easy, but I assure you, it is worth it. And then what Jesus does is, because he realizes, you know, they don't fully understand what I'm talking about yet, he tells a story. And he tells a story to illustrate the way forgiveness works. And he's such a brilliant communicator. What he does is he takes a story to a place you're not going to expect it to go, right? He takes all the emotion out of forgiveness, and he really kind of tries to show us the transactional nature of forgiveness. Let me show you what I mean. Let me show you the story Jesus tells. He says this. He says, look, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In other words, there's a king, and he's loaned money to his servants, to his employees, and he's decided, okay, my books are getting kind of ordered. I need to settle up all these accounts. I need to settle up these debts, all right? And so this is what happens. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Now, millions there, that's really not even the best translation. Jesus picked a number that was so big, that was so insane, there's no way anybody even who was listening could have paid it back in a lifetime. Like, this might as well have said owed him billions of dollars, right? Or like squillions, just make up a number, right? Just owed him money he could never pay back, never could pay back. And so he couldn't pay. So his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children. Hold on, go back. I want to finish reading. So his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. He's like, okay, you can't pay me, so I'm going to get what I can, right? I'm going to get it. I'm going to sell you. I'm going to sell your kids. That's what you do. I'm going to sell it. But look what happens. But the man fell down before his master and begged him. He said, please, be patient with me, and I will pay it all. This isn't true. There's no way this guy can pay it all. He is just grasping. He's just saying whatever he can. No way he can pay it. But look at this. His master was filled with pity, and he released him and canceled his debt. Now, you think Jesus just told you a financial story. Jesus just told you a forgiveness story. See, what Jesus just did is he took all the emotion out of forgiveness, but he showed you exactly how it works. Because what Jesus believes is what we've been saying this whole time. He believes that forgiven people forgive people. We say, Jesus, how do we do that? How does that work? And here's what he would say. You simply cancel their debt. See, by taking this idea of forgiveness out of the realm of emotion and putting in finances, he's able to kind of clarify it for us in a way we can objectively look at. Because here's what he's really saying. He's saying, the reason you're angry with people, the reason you have bitterness, the reason you have rage, the reason you have unforgiveness in you is because ultimately you feel like they took something from you and they now owe you. Unforgiveness is basically saying, you owe me something, and I'm not going to stop till I get it back. It's all we talk about, getting even. It's because anytime somebody harms us, we feel like that an imbalance has been created, right? They took your innocence. They took your trust. They took your pride. They took your hope. They stole. Their actions stole something from you. It cost you something. And so they owe you. And the reason you want revenge, the reason you want to see bad things happen to them is because in your mind, that is a way you can get back from them. You can take it back and you can make yourself whole again. It's getting back from them what they owe. And what Jesus is simply saying is, at its basic level, forgiveness is declaring they don't owe me anymore. It's simply deciding they don't owe me what I think they owe me. It's canceling their debt. Now, that seems difficult to do. That seems rather impossible to do, right? And so you still want to be like, okay, Jesus, how do we do that? How on earth are we supposed to cancel these people's debts? You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how much they hurt me. And Jesus would say, well, I'm not done with the story, but let's go back to the story. Do you get what I was saying in this story? Like, do you fully understand what was happening? It's like the king in the story is my father. And the debtor in the story is you. And the debt owed is every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit in your life. It is a ginormous debt you would never be able to pay. Ever in your life could you pay this back? That's what he's saying. And he's saying, now look, at the end of the day, you've got to decide whether or not you are going to then choose to cancel the debts in your life because of the enormity of the debt that has been canceled for you, that has been canceled on your behalf. And so what Jesus does is he says, okay, I gotta help them make them understand, so I'm going to continue this story, right? And I'm going to help them see what it looks like when they choose not to forgive. Here's what he says. Here's how he continues the story. He says this. He says, but when the man left the king, right? When the man who left the king, the man who had been forgiven this enormous debt, when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars, right? A servant who owed him a very small amount of money compared to what he had owed, compared to what he had been forgiven. This guy owes him a couple grand. He could pay this back over time. Watch what happens. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. We've seen this happen before. Be patient with me, and I will pay it, he pleaded. But watch this. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Now think about that. This guy had everything he owed wiped away. He runs into somebody who owes him a couple thousand dollars, and he refuses to cancel his debt. In fact, he throws him in prison. Well, that doesn't sit well with the people who Jesus is telling the story to. Probably doesn't sit well with you. It didn't sit well in the story either. Look what happened. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. They're like, yo, man, you will not believe what happened. That servant, he just threw this guy in jail. We just thought you should know. We didn't think that was cool. What do you think you're going to do? And so the king calls him in. The king called in the man for he had forgiven, and he said, hey, look, you're crazy, dude. You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? He's like, what are you doing? I forgave everything for you, and you're not going to forgive this guy this little bit? Do you not really see the imbalance here? You don't see how crazy that is? And look what happened. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. The man was tortured. Now see, that's what happens to us every time we choose not to forgive. We allow ourselves to be rechained. We allow ourselves to be put back under the power of what they did. In essence, we allow ourselves to be tortured again and again and again. And what Jesus is trying to say is like, look, one of the main reasons, one of the hows of how you forgive other people is when you compare what's owed to you and you look at how small it is in relation to how large the debt was that God forgave of you. Compared to what God forgave, whatever happened to you is small. Now, I'm not saying what happened to you is insignificant. I'm not belittling what happened to you. I know for some of you, you have horror stories, and it is just so painful and so awful, and in no way am I or is Jesus ever trying to belittle what happened to you. He's just simply trying to show you and give you some perspective. Because regardless of what happened to you, it still pales in comparison to the totality of our sin and our mistakes and what God had to forgive for us. It pales in comparison, right? And so what Jesus is trying to say is he's like, look, when you're struggling with forgiving people, when you're struggling with how to do this, just think about how kind of silly it is to hold someone accountable for a couple of thousand dollars when the God of the universe has forgiven you for owing him $1 billion? Everybody knows a billion is more than a couple thousand, right? If you don't know that, you should write a check for $1 billion and see what happens. Your bank will call you quickly. Ultimately, what Jesus is trying to say is this. He's saying, hey, look, forgiven people, man, they forgive people. Forgiven people understand that when I think about the totality of the debt that has been canceled on my behalf, I have no choice but to cancel the debt of the people in my life who I feel like owe me. Because if we don't, it goes back to what Jesus says. If we don't, this is what we have to look forward to. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. We put ourselves back in prison. We put ourselves back under torture. Now, that's how Jesus ends the story. But then he comments on the story with one more verse that is kind of chilling, but I'm going to explain it. But here's what he says. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Now, that is a strong statement from Jesus. It sounds like he's saying, if you don't forgive others, my Father won't forgive you. And then you will burn in hell, is what it sounds like he's saying. But you have to take complicated, confusing verses, and you have to read them in light of the totality of Scripture. And the totality of Scripture, specifically in the New Testament, everything Jesus teaches, everything Paul teaches, tells us that we are made right with God. We are Christians by believing, not behaving, right? It is our faith. It is our belief in God that makes us whole. So he is not adding an obedience requirement to become a Christian. That's not what he's saying at all. He's simply saying this. It's what we've been saying the entire series. If you've gained it, you will give it. And if you won't give it, you probably never gained it. That's what he's saying. He's saying, because when the life-saving power of Jesus is alive in your heart, when you have truly come to grips and experienced and been set free from the consequences of your sin and your mistakes, when you truly understand that, when you have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and he is a part of your life and he is changing you from the inside out, you will not have a choice. It will flow out of you, this desire to forgive. Because forgiven people forgive people. It is a partnership with God, and he wants to move through you to do it. How do we do that, Jesus? How do we forgive people? It's what he just says, cancel their debt. You simply decide, they don't owe me any more. Now, I know that for most of us in the room, this still doesn't make complete sense, right? How do we cancel their debt? What does that look like? So here's what I want to do. For the next few minutes, right before we're done, I want to do the best I can to kind of walk you through a process that I believe we see in Scripture that I believe can lead to forgiveness. Now, let me be very clear. I said a minute ago, step by step, and I kind of misspoke because I can't give you a step-by-step process to forgiveness because forgiveness is a miracle. I believe when we are healed because other people have hurt us, I believe that is a miracle that happens in our life, in our heart. And I can't give you a step-by-step, 1, 2, 3 blueprint for a miracle. I can't do that. What I can do is I can show you God's principles. I can show you God's path. And I believe when we trust God, when we walk the way he wants, I believe he is faithful and good to do what he says he will do. So I believe if you have a desire to forgive, if you have experienced the forgiveness that God gives you, that you can follow this process and God will be faithful and he will come in and he will heal you and he will set you free from the consequences of what other people have done to you in your life. So the first step, I believe, is made clear in Jesus' story. When you become aware that there's somebody in your life you need to forgive, when you just feel that you have anger, you have bitterness, you have a desire for revenge against people, and maybe you don't want to forgive them, maybe you don't think you should forgive them, maybe you don't want to, you know, you just have no interest in it at all, what I find helpful and what I believe Jesus is telling us in this story is the first place to start isn't in what we should give, it's what we've been given. And the way I say that is this: how do we do it? You begin by being thankful that your debt has been canceled. Before you even begin to try to forgive other people, I think it is valuable to stop, to pause, to pray, and to thank God for what he has done for you in your life. To just simply remember all the sin, all the mistakes, and to even acknowledge that sins you haven't even committed yet have been forgiven, they have been paid for, you have been set free. Just simply stop and be grateful. There is something supernatural that happens in your heart when you praise God. The praises of your heart open yourself up to God and his Spirit in a way nothing else does. I think it's because there's no way to praise and take credit at the same time. Just truly reflect on what your Heavenly Father has done for you, what it cost him to do it, and be thankful for it. Be grateful for it. Praise him for canceling your debt, all of it. And don't move forward until you're moved. Don't move forward until it's clicking in you. You are almost overwhelmed with a sense of awe and gratitude for what our gracious, loving Heavenly Father has done for you. I'm telling you, man, you need God to speak clearly. You need to invite God into your life a little bit. Just spend some time thanking him. Just spend some time telling him how great he is. Just spend some time reminding yourself of all the amazing things he's done for you. And buddy, he'll fill up right quick, and he'll get right there, and he'll come close, and he'll be ready to lead. So after you do that first, after you remember and you're thankful that all your debt has been canceled, the next thing I think you should do is this. Identify who you need to forgive. You actually have to think about it. I would advise you to even write it down. Don't call it an enemies list. Like, don't publish it. Hide it somewhere, but write it down, right? These are the people I'm, and you may say, well, how do I know if I need to forgive somebody? Who are the people that when in public settings that you naturally avoid? Who are the people that you go the other way? Who are the people that when you're scrolling through Facebook, if something bad happens to them, you smile a little bit? Like, who are those people? Because you know you have them. Who are the people when you and your friends are talking about, you kind of start sharing a little bit? Now, if you're Baptist like I am, you call it a prayer request, but it ain't a prayer request. It ain't a prayer request. You are joyful that bad things are happening to them because you're trying to get back from them what you think they owe you. So you have to identify. Who are the people in my life? Who are the people that I have this grudge against? Who are the people I need to forgive? And then again, I'm telling you, write it down. This is something that is helpful for you to do. After you identify who you need to forgive, the next step is to determine what they owe. Now, I know that may sound silly, but take the time to determine what is it I want back from them? What is it I believe they took from me? What is it that they owe? See, you have to be specific about this because general forgiveness doesn't heal specific hurts. You need specific forgiveness. Like, you need to drill down and truly understand and truly try to figure out, what did this person do to me? What do I feel like they took from me? What do I feel like they owe me? Like, you need to write all that down and have it there so that you can see it, so that you can feel the weight of it, right? Some of you don't want to do this because you just want to forget what happened, right? Forgetting is not the same as forgiving. It's not. Forgiving is just hiding it away in the corner in the attic for that time in about 10 or 15 years when you're going through the attic for something else and it just pops back up like a jack in the box. You're like, where'd that go? And it's like, well, you never forgave me. I've just been hidden the whole time. You want better than that. You want to be healed from it. You want to be set free from it. So you have to identify who you're mad at and you have to determine why. Why am I angry at them? What do they owe me? And again, write it down. Document it so you can see it. And then the next step is what we've been talking about. Then you decide to cancel their debt. And I've been saying decide to cancel their debt. But it's not really deciding. It's not self-help. It's partnering to cancel their debt. You partner with Jesus to cancel their debt. See, God didn't just decide to cancel your debt. He canceled your debt through what Jesus did. Jesus' death, his burial, and resurrection is how he's able to cancel your debt. Well, the way you are able to cancel the debt of people in your life is the very same thing. It's because of Jesus. It's because of his death, burial, and his resurrection. It's because of his promise to partner with you and to come alongside you. See, you think they owe you something, and you want it back because you think that's going to heal you, but Jesus is saying, I'm the only one who can fix what they broke. They can't fix what they broke because the solution is a supernatural solution, and they are a natural person. They broke it. Only I can fix it. So why don't we forgive them? Why don't we let them off the hook? Why don't we just let that go, right? Why don't we just set them free from what they owe and let me come in and let me heal you? So the way you cancel their debt is you simply sit down with God. You look at what you've written. You look at who it is. You look at what they owe. And you pray and you say, in the name of Jesus, because of your strength, because of your power, because of your goodness, because of what you say you can do, I'm canceling their debt. They don't owe me this anymore. In Jesus' name, amen. And then throw it away. Burn it. Do whatever it is you need to do so that you can let it go, so that you can be set free from that debt. Because you're going to need that moment, you're going to need that marker for what may end up being the toughest part of this process. You've identified who it is. You've determined what they owe. You've canceled their debt. But the day in, day out step to victory, the day in, day out step to being set free and remaining set free is this last one. Dismiss the case. This is what you have to do the hour after you've prayed, the day after you've prayed, the week after you've prayed, the month after you've prayed, the year after you've prayed. When it comes back up, when the thoughts come back up, when the fears come back up, when the hurts come back up, when the anger comes back up, that's when you cling to Jesus and you say, in the name of Jesus, I have canceled this debt. I have dismissed this case. They don't owe me anymore. And I'm not going to let it come back, Jesus, because by your strength and your power, I'm being healed of this. They don't owe me anymore. See, some of you think you're going to forgive and you're never going to think about it again. You're going to think about it again. You may think about it for the rest of your life. Jesus' goal is to get you to remember it without reliving it. And for some of you right now, you can't. Every time you remember it, you relive it. The adrenaline starts rushing through your body again. The emotions come back, the anger. That is what Jesus can heal you from. See, one of Jesus' greatest ambassadors, this guy named Paul. And Paul tells us in one of his letters that everything, even the bad thing, even the horrible thing you're thinking about right now, everything God can actually turn around and use for good in your life. Now, I know it seems crazy right now, but God is the God of crazy. His son died on Friday and came back to life on Sunday. That sounds pretty crazy, right? He can do anything. And just imagine what he could do in you and through you. If you truly decided to allow him to partner with you to set you free, to set you free from the consequences of what other people did to you, to be set free from the pain, from the guilt, from the shame, from the embarrassment, to be set free from that, to be healed from that, to be able to walk forward knowing, yes, this happened to me, it doesn't define me, God has healed me, God has set me free, and now by the grace of God, he's actually using that experience to allow me to help other people, to allow me to set other people free. God is so, so good. And it all comes down to understanding how forgiveness works. And deciding to partner with Jesus to cancel their debt. To say, you don't owe me any more. Because my heavenly Father is going to fix what you broke. My heavenly Father has me in his hands. And I don't need revenge. I don't need it. I don't need you to give me anything back because my Father is bigger and better and greater than you could ever be. So I'm going to cancel your debt. My Father's going to heal me because I need to move on with my life. That's what Jesus offers. So here's what I want to do. The ushers are coming down right now, and they're going to pass out a card. And this is just a simple little card, and it says debt canceled on it. It's got lines on it. Here's what I want you to do. Yeah, you can come down, ushers. Come on. When you get this card, I do not want you to write on this card right now. Okay? I want you to take this card home with you. And I want you to spend some time this afternoon. I want you to spend some time this week. Or I want you to spend some time this month. And I just want you to go through that process we talked about a moment ago. I want you to really think about and identify the people in your life who you feel like owe you. Identify the people you need to forgive and just write them down. Just write them down on here. And then I want you to determine what it is they owe you. What do they owe you? And write that down as well. And it may take you a month to do that. It may take you weeks of looking at it. I don't know. But put it somewhere where you can see it and where you can go through this process. And then I want you to pray. And when you are ready, when you feel like Jesus is speaking to you, and when you're ready to partner with him, I want you to decide that you are going to cancel their debt, that they don't owe you any more. And then I want you to either burn this card, or I want you to rip it into 1,000 pieces. I want you to shred it. I want you to throw it away. I want you to destroy it. I don't want you to have any record of it anymore. Because I want you to have that marker. I want you to have that memory in your head so that when it comes back up, you can remember, no. I partnered with Jesus. I've just missed this case. I've canceled their debt. There's nothing else to talk about. I don't have to relive this. You're not getting me again, Satan. I've moved on. My Savior's healing me. He's helping me. And I ain't got time to go back to stuff that I've already settled. You need to dismiss the case. And folks, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I can promise you. It will be more difficult than you think. But it will be more beneficial than you can possibly imagine. There is nothing better than not only walking in the forgiveness Jesus gives to you, but in allowing that forgiveness to move through you. Because when you cancel their debt, this is the paradox, when you cancel their debt, you are the one who is set free. And every time you accumulate that new debt, every time you put that IOU in your pocket, every time you say, well, they owe me now, and they owe me now, and they owe me now, you are only imprisoning and torturing yourself. So partner with Jesus. Be transformed by what he's forgiven you for. Be transformed by the love inside of you. And then trust him. Let it move through you. Cancel their debts so that you can be set free. As we close, we're gonna close with a song. You know the song. And I want you to sing this song. I want you to sing it with all your hearts. I want you to sing, and I want you to celebrate the amazing grace that was given to you. I want you to celebrate how you have been set free. I want you to celebrate all the debt that has been canceled in your name. And I want that joy and that celebration that you experience in that to propel you to experience the freedom God has for you. Cancel their debt so that you can be set free. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. God, I thank you for just how clear you are. I thank you that you love us and that you want to help us and you want to set us free. God, I just pray for the hearts in this room, the hearts that are struggling, the hearts that don't know if this is worth it. Father, just help them see that there is no better freedom than the freedom that comes from your Son. May we trust you. May we trust him to be sufficient to heal our hurts. May we trust him to fight our battles for us, Father. And in his precious name, may we cancel the debts of people in our lives. May we be set free through the forgiveness you provide. It's in your Son's amazing holy name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.